Labor Board versus the Sween Company, Mr. Young. Where are you, Mr. Young? No, Mr. Young?
I'm here.
Well, aren't you the appellant?
No, not the Labor Board. The other side, that's the
appellant. Oh, well, on my...
Backwards.
I have you listed as arguing first. You can argue first? Are you Mr. Kamen? Kamens? So you're arguing for the company?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we have reversed. That's all right.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Scott Kamens from Moffitt Kerman here on behalf of the respondent, EA Sween Company. This case arose out of an August 2008 NLRB election. In which, on the eve of the election, the Teamsters, which was the petitioning union, distributed a flyer which we contend contained false, forged misstatements of the law. They did it in such a way that the company was unable to respond. The union, as a result, won the election. The company timely filed objections and exceptions, which were overruled by the board, leading to this appeal. I'll be very brief since we don't have a lot of time. But the facts in this case, there's really three core critical facts in this case which I do not think are disputed. Number one, the critical issue in the campaign leading up to this election was whether these drivers, the company's drivers who would be voting, whether they would be able to continue to receive wage increases during what could be lengthy negotiations over a first contract. So that was undisputed fact number one. Number two, I don't think it's seriously disputed that the union, in an effort to address that issue and appease the drivers, distributed a flyer to these overnight drivers as they were coming into work for their last shift before they would be going in to vote the next day. Company really had no reasonable chance to respond. Number three.
What does this semi-literate flyer mean? I can't figure out what it means.
Well, Your Honor, what it means is we believe it's purported to be a quote from the U.S. Supreme Court. And it says that during...
It doesn't purport to be that.
Well, it says the U.S. Supreme Court is held and it's surrounded by quotes. And you got to remember your...
Not either, right? So why don't you say what it exactly says?
It says, quote, the U.S. Supreme Court is held...
It doesn't say Supreme Court.
It says the U.S. Supreme.
Right. It's a garble. It's some mishmash.
Well, Your Honor, we would urge you to...
What does it mean? I don't understand it, especially the last part about...
Well, what it means is, to give you brief background, the key issue in these negotiations... I'm sorry.
You said that. Now, tell me what
it means is that
during... Tell me what this means, would you please?
It means that during contract negotiations, the employees can approve wage increases. That's what we...
I don't see where it says that.
During if I may quote it, during contract negotiations or approved by employees.
What is that? I know. What is the significance of that? I suppose...
Well, Your Honor, I would urge you to defer to the union. The union... put out this flyer. They knew the drivers.
I don't know what it means. I just can't figure out what that approved...
May I?
Says, terms and conditions must remain the same until and during contract negotiations. That I understand. Or approved by employees. Now, what is it that the employees are approving?
What it means is that during contract negotiations, the employees can approve wage increases. That was the issue.
It doesn't say that. It says during contract negotiations or approved by employees.
Correct.
It doesn't say that their approval is required during contract negotiations.
It says that the conditions of employment by law must remain the same until and during contract negotiations or approved by employees, which means that the terms and conditions have to stay the same unless they're approved by employees to change. That's what it says.
Maybe it means the negotiations.
Well, again, that's where you have to get the background of what was going on there. And I would really urge you to defer to the union in this case. The union put out this flyer on the eve of the election as these guys were going out. They didn't do it just for random, you know, giggles. They did it because this was the issue in this election campaign. They did it on the eve of the election because they didn't want the company to respond.
So you read this to mean that terms and conditions must remain the same until changes are approved by the employees?
Until Yes, until it's approved by the employees. And again, I would urge you to, you know, look at the union. The union put this out for a reason. They put it out to convince the drivers not to worry about their wage increases.
Well, if you read the next sentence, I think what they meant to say sort of comes through, that it means if you're already scheduled to get a raise, then the union or the company can't take that away from you, because as leverage during contract negotiations.
Well, I think
isn't that what they were trying to say?
Part of that statement, yes. Part of that quoted statement, yes, that's what they're trying to say. The rest of it, no, that's not what they're trying to say.
Well, the rest doesn't make any sense, as Judge Posner said. It doesn't.
Well, I didn't draft it, but again, the
union, it's not a forgery of a Supreme Court document.
Well, it's saying the U.S. Supreme Court has held, and then it's put in quotes. Why did they put it in quotes?
But look, but following up on what Judge Lefkoe said, the next sentence is begins, that statement means. In other words, the first sentence is meaningless. So there's another sentence which says what this garbled passage means is exactly what Judge Lefkoe said, which is okay. You're not questioning that, right?
Well,
so they interpreted it and they gave it a meaning. May not correspond to the sense of the words, but they gave it a meaning which is lawful.
Well, I believe that both the hearing officer and, in fact, general counsel have conceded that it was a misstatement of the law. And to me, I guess we're reading it differently.
But anybody reading this first sentence would be scratching his head. Fortunately, the next sentence says that statement means, right? I mean, it's as if you're given a passage in a foreign language which you don't understand, and then the next sentence is, what this means in English is, then you interpret it according to the English translation. You don't go back and say, well, I don't know what this means because it's in a foreign language. You've been given a translation. So they gave the reader a translation of this garbled quotation from something.
Well,
what more do you want?
I believe that they gave a translation of part of it, not the rest of it speaks for itself, that during contract negotiations or approved by employees. I believe that the target was not lawyers or judges, it was truck drivers.
Would that garbled passage swing an election?
Well, Your Honor, as we discussed, I think, fairly at length in the briefs, this was the critical issue in the election, was what would happen to wage increases during negotiations. The union obviously thought it was a critical issue. They came out with a flyer. They put quotes around this passage and said the Supreme Court has held this.
It didn't say the Supreme Court has held
this. I think the intention.
It didn't say the U.S. Supreme had held this, did it?
Yes, it says the U.S. Supreme has held.
Okay, U.S. Supreme.
And it put quotes around it, Your Honor. And again, I know my time is narrow, but I would defer to the union. The union knew what this meant. They put this out for a purpose, and they put this out to address the issue. They put quotes around it because they wanted to convey that this was a quoted passage.
Well, they didn't attribute the quote to anyone. I don't think anyone will claim it now.
Well, it says, quote, the U.S. Supreme. And again, while we can make fun of the passage today, this was directed towards drivers who were concerned about whether they would get wage increases. Everyone's acknowledged it's not a true statement of the law. The only question is it a forgery? And we say when you put quotes around something.
It's obviously not a forgery.
Well, it's not the U.S. Supreme Court.
It's not a forgery.
It's a forgery of.
It is not a forgery. A forgery is a document which, you know, has purports to be written by somebody and it's been written by someone else. A misquotation is not a forgery, even if it's deliberate.
I think when you deliberately state that.
It's not a forgery. Unless you don't know the English language.
I believe I do know the English language, Your Honor.
Well, it's not a forgery. It could be a lie. It could be a garble. It could be plagiarism. It could be anything. It's not a forgery.
Well, in any event, at the very least, it's a pervasive misstatement of the law and a critical issue in the negotiations.
It's a misstatement. So does a misstatement upset an election?
Well, I think at least under the Sixth Circuit exception that we've encouraged you to adopt, it certainly can, especially when you deal with a situation here where we're on the eve of the election. This is a critical issue that we're dealing with. And again, I keep going back to this, but you got to defer to the union. The union did not put this out just for, you know, the heck of it. They put it out because they wanted to deceive the drivers into thinking that, go ahead and vote for us, you'll get your wage increases.
Why did they put the second sentence, which says this statement means, and then it's a correct statement. That doesn't sound like very skillful misrepresentation.
Well, again, Your Honor, I think that's just... Well, I think that it, the first that statement refers to part of the prior passage, but it doesn't refer to the whole passage.
No, it says that statement means. It doesn't say the first sentence means this, and the second sentence is our misrepresentation. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Kamens. Oh, Mr. Young?
Your Honor, good morning. My name is Christopher Young. I'm here on behalf of the National Labor Relations Board. I would just, because I believe the court correctly recognizes the garbled nature of that first passage, and perhaps that was the reason that the board ordered a hearing with regard to the company's objection in the first place. But then the document goes on to clearly point out what the statement means, and as the court has recognized, that statement is a lawful statement. The company emphasizes that this statement was put out on the eve of the election as though it had no chance to respond. It did have a chance to respond because the election was held the next day, 24 hours later. It learned of this document some 24 hours before the election itself. It could have put out a counter document if it wished. In its reply brief to the court, it claims that the only effective counter propaganda would have been for it to have held a general meeting of the employees. Well, that's just a wrong understanding of the law, because although the company would have been able to engage in electioneering, it would not have been able to have a captive audience speech within 24 hours of the election.
Where did they hand it out beforehand, or do you know?
I'm sorry?
How was this distributed?
I believe by hand, Your Honor.
Well, I mean, just individually, one-on-one?
Yes.
One-to-one? So somebody passed them out?
Yes.
It wasn't at any particular gathering? It was just when they were going up to work or something?
No, they were going to work.
It was on the way to work?
Yes. Okay. And they had various hours. They had moves.
So in order to counter distribute, they'd have to catch them on the way back from work?
Well, it would have been easier. No, it would have been easier. They could have distributed a counter leaflet as the employees were coming into the election, which were held at...
Oh, is that okay to do?
Yes, that's okay to do. But I guess I just wanted to make those two points in regard that that the board certainly evaluated this this document as a reasonable employee would have done in the circumstances, and to suggest that the employees were so confused by this document that they voted 27-6 in favor of representation by the union is just absurd.
From the board's point of view, is there any? I'm not exactly sure when someone would read this, whether why they would vote for the union or not. Was there something in an issue where they were concerned about not getting a wage increase or something?
Well, like that is hard to say, but I would put this in the further context that 2 years ago, I mean in 2007, the employees had voted out the Teamsters when they could not, after lengthy negotiations, they could not obtain a wage increase for the employees. So these employees, some of whom I presume were around, I don't believe the record's clear on that, but knew that just because the union was certified and engaged in collective bargaining negotiations, nothing was guaranteed. And certainly a wage increase was not guaranteed. If there's nothing else, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Mr. Kamens, your time is expired, but you can have another minute if you have anything further.
I just wanted to thank you very much. I just wanted to reference one aspect regarding the company's ability to respond. These were overnight drivers. They went out on their shift, were handed this flyer, and then they came in to vote the next day. There was really no effective way to respond. And unless the...
It wasn't 24 hours?
Excuse me?
It wasn't 24
hours. It wasn't 24 hours. They go out various times overnight delivering to 7-Elevens. Then the next day they were coming in to vote. So I guess the company could have... You know, stood outside trying to grab people as they went in, but it really wasn't an effective way to respond. Unless there's any other questions, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. And our last.